In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 31 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Lehigh talking with Jeff Handy. Jeff is the co-founder and COO of Quality.ai. Quality generates, runs, and maintains a full test automation suite using AI, completely hands-off. 15 minutes to set up, updates as you push code, and let software finally test software. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you enjoy. Thank you, Jeff, for being on the Swell Podcast. If you can, just for our listeners, introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
You bet. So I'm Jeff Handy, one of the founders of Quality. Peter West and I started a company called Save a Development, which was like an outsourced dev shop, but did outsourced QA work. And we ran that for about 7 years. We had 150 employees kind of distributed throughout throughout the world. But then we were looking at the quality assurance landscape, and especially with emerging technologies such as AI, we saw QA being a really perfect place for AI to come in and help disrupt an entire industry. So we started to pivot all of our time and attention to utilizing AI to take care of your testing for you. So now in software development, that whole part of the life cycle can now be taken, instead of by teams and teams of people, by a small team of people and our tool.
So it's like assisted QA?
Assisted for now, but I think in very short amount of time, I won't put a date on it, but it will be the only tool that you'll need for all your quality assurance.
So no more QA jobs.
So repurposing of QA jobs would probably be the best way to say it, you know, because thankfully QA developers are no Python, Java, you know, kind of depending on what, you know, what stack you're running in, and it can help serve developer shortages that everybody's facing right now.
Mm. A question about accessibility and QA. So is that something, so I'm assuming you have probably invested into that as well. And I'm wondering about like manual testing and accessibility and QA. I'm sorry, I'm getting into the weeds, but I'm wondering about
that.
We
love the weeds. Yeah. So, you know, manual testing and automation testing have served two distinct functions kind of within an organization. So we'll just take like a mid-sized, fairly mature organization. If they have a manual testing component, it's typically going to be with something fairly manually or like, you know, pretty technically complex, and maybe has like a lot of, like, for example, Canvas elements. I think Lucid is a great example, to where, you know, front-end test automation is just really difficult to cover every single permutation. So they'll have a manual testing team, and then the automation tests are ones that can run with things that you're hoping can be fairly standardized, like the login is a really good place where automation tests can go. What Quality will do is it will try and take the best of both worlds. Mm. It will be able to do things technically complex because it watches what your users do, and your users are often doing all the technical complex legwork, but then it will be writing the automation test code for all the other features. So it's kind of trying to take the best of both worlds. Do I think that you don't need any QA with Quality? Not today. You would still probably need some element of, and actually probably more on the manual testing side of where you'd probably want it today. But in the future, going forward, AI is going to get better and better, and our tool will progress too.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right. Yeah. So let's we dived super deep into that.
We'll be coming back to that in a moment. Just tell us a little bit about your past, whether it's your childhood, your family, your parents. I don't know. Just anything. Who you are.
No, most definitely. I grew up in Sandy, Utah. Yeah. My dad is a doctor, and the first time I saw a compound fracture, I realized that being a doctor was not going to be the pathway for me. Yeah. And when I was growing up, I actually really admired, there was a couple entrepreneurs in my neighborhood. So one of our entrepreneurs who had then become a founder and, or, you know, an investor and board member in our future companies, started a company called Control4 out here.
Yeah.
And then another one started Zooka Juice, which then was acquired by Jamba Juice. And I remember listening to their stories, and they just seemed so crazy and fun. And I thought, what a fun way to spend your career. And then I went to BYU, and I still thought the entrepreneurship was awesome, but I didn't want to force it. You know, I didn't want to, you know, just try and start something for the sake of starting something. But I did have an idea in college with a good friend of mine for a pickup basketball app. So what it would do is it would help you find pickup basketball games. But even more than that, there would be a rating system to where you'd be able to rate the players, and you'd be able to, you know, get endorsed for different skills. It would have access to different games based on your skill level. And it was really fun. We had some NBA investors. We had some NBA, you know, brand ambassadors. We were going all over the country. It was really cool. Started it in college. And then, you know, the short story is that as things got more and more serious, one of our co-founders decided that they weren't ready for the journey. Pulled out, and sadly we didn't know about vesting schedules and different things like that, so it kind of killed the company. And then it was kind of at that weekend that everything was blowing up is when Peter called me about starting potentially Seva. And so, you know, then Seva was that, you know, outsourced QA shop, did that, and then to kind of to quality. So it's been kind of a series of different companies with varying levels of success. But I feel really lucky that I've just been able to stay in the game, you know, for as long as we have. The only thing that I really did before that was I was the first intern over at Cotopaxi, which is a company here in Utah. Davis Smith was starting it up. And I remember I was a river guide in college, and I saw his kind of branding for it. And he was looking for an MBA intern at the time. So he's giving a presentation for all. And I was an undergrad. But I walked up to him. I'm like, dude, I'll just do whatever. So I spent my whole internship driving the llamas around the different campuses. but I feel like I learned more about entrepreneurship doing that than anything else. You know, it's just like, don't ask permission. Just kind of do your thing, obviously within legal limits. But, you know, what I found is that nobody really cared when we showed up with llamas. They just kind of were like, oh, I don't really know what to do about this. But as long as you pick up the poop, you know. So, but yeah, that's been essentially my journey up until now.
Yeah, no, so interesting. We could have a conversation, long one, just about Cotopaxi, stuff you learned from Davis. But just going back to my earliest career was at GE, and the very first role that someone I worked with was QA, and he did it all manually. I mean, it was there was no automation back then, 2004. Or at least we weren't using any automation. It's changed a lot through the years, hasn't it? And then automation's come in, and that's, of course, allowed QA people to do other work while it's automated. Now, of course, AI, not just in the last year, but over the last few years, has changed the landscape completely. At what point did you kind of see that as a problem and a pain point that you were going to really go after?
Great question. 5 years ago, Peter and I were at a conference in Anaheim. So it's one of the large testing conferences. And, you know, we were there, you know, hawking our services, obviously. But we saw two different companies that said, AI and testing is here. They were obviously way too early. But it definitely got us thinking, oh, my gosh, maybe AI and testing is here. And so we actually implemented those for our clients, those different tools. And, you know, in the couple of years after that, we implemented some others that claimed to be AI and testing. Ultimately, though, at best, they were code assisting tools, much like a way worse version of a QA copilot. They just really didn't work. And so it really wasn't on our radar to start something in the AI space, but we did realize that there was nobody else that was able to solve these particular issues. It wasn't really until GPT-2 came out where we were looking and going, oh my gosh, AI has come a long way. And with some help and with some guidance, maybe we could help get, you know, our models to a place where we could help to not only generate code, which is one aspect of it, but then being able to maintain that code over time, because your application is going to change. So, you know, getting a one snapshot into your application is only valuable for one day. And depending on how often you release, only 1 hour. And so that's really where we went is we were noticing these trends. And then some technology came out. We started to do some work with some research universities. We filed some patents, and then we just kind of went for it. And our product is changing constantly. As new things are coming out, you know, we're improving our process too. So it's been, you know, bottom line is the story is still very in the very much beginning phases. So I mean, you could talk to me in a month and things are going to be completely different.
I know, but that keeps things exciting, I suppose. Yeah. Just for those that really don't understand how this benefits them, I suppose, what is the impact of utilizing a product and a platform of quality?
Yeah, the biggest thing, so when you look at the software development lifecycle, you're going to, there's a product aspect where you're generating, here's what we're going to build. You're translating that into stories, and then the stories are getting to developers. Developers then are building, and then they're supposed to be testing, and then they're deploying, and then the code is running. And so that's essentially your software development lifecycle. And then maybe beyond that, there's like monitoring and other things. When you look at that software development lifecycle, it's really easy strategically for a company to focus on what's being built, and then how is it performing when it's out there in the wild. But testing is a big drain on a company typically. It's a cost leader. It's not, you know, when you're looking at investing in a new feature that can bring in new revenue versus maintaining, you know, current customers, it's just a hard trade-off, especially for earlier stage companies. So what we do is we take away that decision for you. We don't want you to have to compromise quality without having to invest in the cost. So we're wanting to sit in that testing bucket and to take care of it all for you. So now your developers, instead of sending it over to QA, getting feedback, or not having any QA at all, or having them do QA, our tool's doing QA. It's giving them near instant feedback so imagine a world where you're committing code and then 10 minutes later you're knowing exactly what's wrong, and then potentially even giving you fixes for those. It's now speeding up your rate of innovation, potentially eliminating, 30% of time wasted within the software development lifecycle. And, quality of our company's vision, though, isn't just what's that testing phase. It's also kind of extending into monitoring and how code performs after its release, or that whole kind of quality pipeline that we'll be focused on a little later next year
in the roadmap. Oh, it's exciting. So I mean, you're saving thousands, well, you're saving a huge amount of time, money, cost, and a higher quality product at the end of it.
Yeah, allowing also companies to invest in innovation and new features, new products.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people a lot of people's first thing, depending on size of the company, is like, wow, this will probably be able to help us optimize on cost. Then I think where people go and where they get most excited is the efficiency aspect. Look, if our developers are able to get actionable feedback, because you always have that problem, and developers that are listening will understand, right? It's like, it works on my machine. And so you're going typically back and forth a lot with the QA department. If you can just take all of that out, it's going to make a big deal at, the rate of development for your company. And what our hope is that we're able to unlock a whole lot of innovation that can help propel us into the future, because people aren't worried about one of the biggest time sucks in all of the software development lifecycle.
Yeah, that's good.
How long has quality been around?
So we started doing, research, like early research, like 3 years ago, but it really has only been around for 2 years.
Okay.
Kind of where we were like, okay, we're going to now start to invest time and resources. Granted, we were still running Seva, so it was kind of like, that's when we started to do all the research. We kind of founded a little.
It's a good spot for the research, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, we're only now really doing a more, we've kind of done our alpha, our beta, and now we're kind of moving now into our general release here in just a few weeks.
And are you building out of Kiln? Do you work out of Kiln?
So we do. We work out of the other building.
Okay.
And it has been a great experience. Actually, so we started a few years ago. Our journey was that we did an office in Provo. Then we went to Pleasant Grove. Then we went to Sandy. And then during the pandemic, we came to Kiln with just like desk memberships. And then we got a small office. Then we got a slightly bigger office. So I think it was like a 4-man office, a 6-man office. And now we have another office on the second floor. So we've been at Kiln now for a few years and absolutely love it.
What do you love about it?
Well, there's two things. One is that we got introduced to our lead investor from our last round from somebody that works out of here. So that was a very big deal. So Daniel Falabella, if you're listening, thank you so much. And then the second is the community aspect. I guess that can kind of go into the number one, but we've met customers, we've hired people, and out of our relationships here at Kiln, it for us is it's just a no-brainer place to be. Plus, it's really close to all of our homes. We've really loved Kiln. All of our employees like to come in, and I think it really works well for our kind of hybrid environment that we have over at Quality.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln.
Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer Swell in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com. Book a tour and be sure to mention Swell in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Motera Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Motera Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Motera instead. With 3 van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps 4 and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Motera offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomotera.com/swell. That's gomotera.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode. And one of the last questions that we like to ask all the guests that come in is, so what does it take, in your opinion, to take an idea and create something that's never existed before, create a movement, maybe challenge a status quo? What would you say to that?
The best advice I think I've ever heard was, a video from Steve Jobs where I'm going to butcher the paraphrasing of it. But essentially, he talks about that your life changes when you understand one simple thing. And then that's when you look around and realize that everything that you see and that everything you interact with was made by somebody who is no smarter than you. And that once you realize that you can actually affect life, you can push it, you can push life, and then something will happen. That's a pretty foundational paradigm shift for your brain to have happen. So I think the first kind of undergoing just an understanding that you can influence life in a much more powerful way, then you can try and find the problems that you resonate with. Then you can try and find solutions that match those problems. But until you kind of get to the fact that you can actually influence life, it can be really hard to do any of those things. And then just the last thing I'd say is that understanding an industry or a problem really well will assist you. We know QA super well. We invested in that industry for 7 to 10 years, because Peter was working in QA and development before that. We've invested into this community, to this industry, and we were around long enough to see where there was a good place to innovate. Mm-hmm. And that took years, and we built a successful company off of some of those things. But I think now we're really doing what our I don't know, what could be our career defining life's work right now because of those insights. So anyway, just some thoughts. I mean, but I'm a nobody, so don't listen to me.
No. That was great. Sound advice. And thank you for coming on here. I think that'll give some great advice. And I think great support for our audience. I was going to ask you, you know, what, if you'd gone back in time, you know, what advice would you give him? But it may have been that piece of advice, right? You can make a difference. Just, you know an industry and start doing something, and you can actually do it yourself if you feel passionate about it. Anything else?
No, I think that was good.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
I really appreciate it,
on the journey that's before you.
No, I think you're our most energetic guest.
It was good energy.
And really good energy. And so we love that. And so thank you so much.
You're very welcome, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, at The Swell Pod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.